White letters on a blue background. Sony Pictures Classics. Light glimmers on the surface of a dark ocean. Two strips of cinema film fly above the surface, weaving between each other. They intertwine, then freeze as a pattern of stylized arcs above a caption. Medusa, Mediaset Group. The caption is framed by a disc and hangs in a cloudy, pinky-blue sky. Sony Pictures Classics presents a Medusa film and Gravia production, a Perdido production. To Rome with love.
Poi d'improvviso venivo dal vento rapito.
Starring Woody Allen, Alec Baldwin, Roberto Benigni, Penelope Cruz, Julie Davis, Jesse Eisenberg, Greta Gerwig, Ellen Page.
Volare.
Co-starring Antonio Arbinese, Fabio Ammigliato, Alessandra Mastronardi, Ornella Muti, Flavio Parenti, Alison Pill, Riccardo Scamarcio, Alessandro Tiberi.
E volavo, volavo felice, più in alto del sole ed ancora più su. Mentre il mondo pian piano.
Written and directed by Woody Allen. A bright sunny day in Rome. Traffic passes the Monumento Nazionale a Vittorio Emanuele II, an impressive stone building with columns running along the front. At a junction, a traffic policeman stands on a black and white striped platform directing the traffic. He wears black trousers and a white shirt, gloves and helmet. He elegantly waves his arms this way and that, beckoning cars to pass and holding his hand up to halt cars.
Porca miseria, che botto!
He talks to camera.
Sorry, I don't speak English very well. I'm from Roma. My job, as you can see, is to see that the traffic move. I stand up here and I see everything. All people, I see life. In this city, all is a story. See that young man over there? He's a Roman. Michelangelo.
Oh, scusi, Fontana di Trevi?
So it's two blocks.
Uh-huh.
And then across the piazza.
Okay, and that's Piazza Mignanel.
No.
Okay, no. Piazza di Spagna is this.
No. So
no.
This
okay.
is Piazza Venezia, right?
Okay.
Look, sorry. This is Piazza.
Yeah. I don't know.
Look, you know what? I'm going that way. I can show you.
Thank you. Thank okay. you so much. You speak very good English.
That's because of my work. I visit New York often.
Oh, that's where I'm from.
Oh.
What do you do?
I'm a lawyer. And you are, let me guess, a tourist.
For the summer. I'm Hayley.
Hi, Michelangelo.
Hi.
They shake hands. Hayley, a pretty young woman in her 20s, and Michelangelo, a handsome young man with tousled dark brown hair, visit the lavish and ornate Trevi Fountain. They have dinner together and chat intensely. Romance blossoms. In a park, they kiss. Hayley walks down stone steps and talks on her phone.
It's been an unbelievable summer. Well, you read about in all those romantic novels, American goes to Rome, meets handsome Roman at Trevi Fountain. He's utterly adorable.
A train arrives.
Now, Antonio and Millie were also a young couple in love. They married in the little town of Pordenone and came to Rome for their honeymoon with plans to settle there.
The wide-eyed, fresh-faced young couple carry their bags along the platform. A suave, handsome, middle-aged guy, John, and his girlfriend, Carol, sit outside a cafe with another couple.
And then there was that well-known American architect, concluding his vacation with a few days in Rome.
An alarm goes off in a bedroom.
And finally, we meet Leopoldo Pisanello, an average Roman citizen of the middle class. Dependable, agreeable, predictable.
Hayley and Michelangelo.
Everything happened so fast.
I can't wait to bring you home and introduce you to my parents.
I can't wait to meet them.
Dinner with the family.
This looks delicious.
Buona mamma.
And what do you do, Hayley?
I'm self-employed. I help clients find art. My background is in fine arts.
He's a lawyer. I'm very proud. All my children. I work night and day so they get education. Oh, we want to meet your parents. They come to Rome?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, they're on their way.
On a jet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are beginning our descent into Fiumicino Airport in Rome. We may experience some turbulence. Please keep your seatbelts fastened and make sure all trays are in an upright position.
Great. Turbulence. My favorite.
No, you just relax and stop clenching your fists.
I can't unclench when there's turbulence. You know, I'm an atheist. I don't like this. It's bumping. The plane is bumping. I don't
wait
like
to
when
meet
it moves.
Her fiancé.
Like, you know, he's a communist.
There's not even the Communist Party here anymore. No, he's just very, very left.
Hey, listen, I was very left when I was his age, too, but I was never a communist. What? I couldn't share a bathroom.
No, he's not a communist. He's just a do-gooder.
What does it mean, a do-gooder?
Well, he's not into material possessions, you know?
Well, look, if she's going to marry an Italian, I want her to marry somebody with, you know, with material possessions, with a yacht, with a couple of Ferraris, with a villa in Sardinia, you know. Don't you want our little Haley to marry into Eurotrash? Oh, I don't like it. I don't like when a plane does that.
Stop it. Just relax.
I get a bad feeling.
Breathe.
Jerry and Phyllis. A porter carries Antonio and Millie's bags into a plush hotel room and gives them the keys.
Grazie.
The young couple take in their surroundings and smile. They kiss and he says, do you like it? She replies, I love it. He continues, it's late. My uncles and aunts will be here. We have to hurry. Millie says, will they like me? What are you worried about? You're beautiful. Just be yourself. Don't worry. They're important people. Perhaps a bit severe, but don't let it throw you. They're nice. Starting next week, I'll be working in their firm, and I don't want to say or do anything that could jeopardize this wonderful opportunity they're giving us. Millie says, it'll be fine. You'll impress them. You think so? I know so.
Senti, rispetto al discorso che facevamo prima in treno.
Antonio says, about your question on the train. Yes, I'll miss Pordenone, but this position is too good to turn down. Think, Millie, if all goes well, we will be living in Rome, entering society, having children, and maybe one day we will own a villa like my uncles. Millie looks in a mirror. I have to get my hair done. I look like a small town school teacher. I want to look chic. Antonio says, it's late. Do you have to go now? I'll be right back. I don't want them waiting for us. Okay, but hurry. I will. She goes and Antonio says, hurry. The concierge speaks to Millie. I'm sorry, the salon is booked up. Is there another one near here? Exit the hotel, go right, down two blocks and to the left. Past the archway, on the right, you'll see a small bridge. Cross the bridge, go left, and you'll see it on the right. Millie thanks him and goes. John, Carol, Tim and Ellen.
The food is better than Malibu, I'll say that.
I can't wait to do some sightseeing.
Oh, John can show us around. He used to live here.
Oh, God, Carol. It was 30 years ago.
So?
That must have been great then.
That was fabulous. I was young and in love and a complete fool.
But it's the Eternal City. It never changes. And I, too, want to go see the ruins. It is Rome, after all.
All those old ruins just depress me. I get Ozymandias melancholia. Besides, I saw it all when I lived here.
So we'll leave you and then we'll hook up later, okay?
Okay.
I'm just not a good sightseer. I prefer just to walk the little streets.
Ozymandias melancholia. Where'd you get that phrase?
John, who has a square jaw and slicked back brown hair, strolls along a quiet cobbled street. He stares straight ahead and appears lost in his thoughts. A slim, good-looking young man with curly brown hair, Jack, walks down a nearby street. As he turns a corner by a bench, he passes John. John sits on the bench, and Jack turns to him.
Excuse me, are you John Foy?
Yes, how did you know that?
No, I recognize your picture from the Herald Tribune. You design all those shopping malls.
That's how you think of me?
No, I'm an architect. Studying to be, anyhow.
Really?
Yeah, you working on a project in Rome?
No, a vacation. I lived in Rome for a year when I was your age.
Really? Where?
Here, Trastevere.
Yeah, I live here. I'm on Via dei Neofiti.
That's my old stomping ground. I've been wandering around all day. I can't seem to find it.
No, it's literally 2 blocks up to the left.
Well, I...
What? Do you want me to show you?
I don't know if I should revisit it. But... Okay. Why not?
Leopoldo has breakfast. His wife, Sophia, pours coffee. Leopoldo holds up a jar. I saw this honey for half the price. He turns to his son. Finish your breakfast. His son says, I'm not hungry. Leopoldo continues, you have to eat. Where is Camilla? You know why there's so much unemployment? Because people are being replaced by advanced technology. Sophia says, what's on the movie page? Young Camilla sits. Leopoldo says, eat, here's Camilla. You're always late. Wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase, Leopoldo walks out of his apartment building and goes to his car. Later, Leopoldo walks through the open plan office where he works. He sits at his desk. Leopoldo's with some colleagues by the water cooler. If you ask me, the way the world's going, one day the whole planet will be speaking Chinese. No one's asking you. No one cares what you or I think. We just have to pay taxes. A beautiful young woman walks in. Look, look, here she comes. Where was she when we had the blackout and I was stuck in the elevator for 2 hours? Oh, to be young and single, or at least single. Did you see her do that? Beautiful. You still wouldn't have a chance. Why not? She takes her weekends with the boss. Since when? Since always, if you ask me. What, again? What? I can't say one thing. If you ask me... Leopoldo, Sophia and two friends come out of a cinema. Leopoldo says, it's a very enigmatic film, very interesting, beautiful, better than The King's Speech. Oh, come on, I didn't get it. Leopoldo continues, the director didn't want you to understand. Life's mystery, the atmospheric cinematography. Did you see that shot? If I could vote, there would be no question. But you don't vote. I don't vote, but if I could. I hear Brad Pitt and Angelina are in town promoting a movie. Sophia sees a crowd nearby. Do you think it's Brad Pitt? Leopoldo and Sophia watch TV in bed. This week we'll be interviewing Tony Blair, the winner of the Miss Universe contest, and Johnny Depp.
Oh my God, look at this city!
A view from a terrace.
You're tipping him in euros. When you realize what you just gave him, you're going to have a heart attack.
Well, you know, they gave us such a great room, Phyllis, and yeah. I'm delighted to be here. This is great.
See, you always used to travel for work. Isn't it nice to be someplace for pleasure?
No, I miss work. I don't like being retired. No. You know, I keep having fantasies that I'm going to wind up an old person in a hotel lobby watching a communal television set and drooling with a colostomy bag or something.
You see, you equate retirement with death.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, but it's a fantasy, because you're not dying.
No, I'm not dying now, but, you know, it's conceivable I might one day. You know, I'm talking 50, 60 years from now. Can I get a little water?
Sure. Yeah, you just have to ask.
You know, and I haven't made my mark. I haven't really achieved what I wanted to do.
Oh, you did just fine. Your problem was that you were just a little ahead of your time.
Hey, I'm way ahead of my time. You know, you married a very bright guy. I got 150, 160 IQ.
You're figuring it in euros. In dollars, it's much less.
She goes in. She opens the door of their hotel room.
Hello.
Oh, darling.
Hi. Oh. Hi. Hi, Dad. How are you?
Good, good.
This is Michelangelo.
Hi.
This is my father.
Nice to meet you.
My mother.
Yeah, very nice to meet you.
Did you have a good trip?
Good trip? Yeah, we had a good trip. I thought it was a little bumpy when we landed, but, you know, you probably read about it in the paper if the airline ever recovers the black box.
So our plan is to get married around Christmas.
Oh, really? You're a lawyer, Michelangelo?
Michael?
Yes.
I call you Michael?
Yes, for the oppressed, those who cannot pay.
Ah, so pro bono. So should be taking in washing soon. Would you like a drink or something? Or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Water. Oh, yeah. Would you like water?
Yeah, water.
Water is fine. Ailey told me that you work in the music business?
I did. I'm retired. I used to work for a classical music division of a record company, and I was an opera director for many years.
Michelangelo's great-grandfather knew Verdi.
Really? Yeah. Well, I staged some Verdi. I did. Basically, I did avant-garde stuff, atonal things. But I jazzed up a couple of classics. You know, I did a production of Rigoletto, where all the characters were dressed as white mice. I did Tosca once, all in a phone booth.
Jerry was ahead of his time.
Yeah, I was a little, you know, a little fast for mass appeal, but. You know, then the production's got a... Between the critics and the costs, the unions, we...
I'm sorry, you don't like the unions?
Well, you know, the unions...
You know, without the unions, the worker would be ground into dust.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, Michelangelo, but I...
Michelangelo.
What?
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo. Yeah, like Michelangelo, the painter, only with him, for some reason, it's Michelangelo.
Michelangelo feels very deeply about the workers.
Michelangelo and Haley smile at each other and hold hands. Millie stands on a busy street. She stops a man.
Scusi.
She says, excuse me, via della penna. The man scratches his head.
Ah, sì. Allora, prende la prima destra.
Take the next right, go down one block. You'll come to a gelato shop. Walk one block and turn left.
Ancora avanti per 50 metri. E lì vada a sinistra.
Grazie.
The man walks on, but Millie pauses on the street. In their hotel room, Antonio reaches into one of the pockets of his trousers that he's taken off and gets out his mobile phone. In a square, a woman tells her, at the next traffic light, there's a fish restaurant. You can't miss it. Walk one block, make a right, go up two blocks, and take another right. You following? Millie replies, yes, yes. Thank you. The woman puts a big pair of sunglasses back on and saunters off. Millie fidgets nervously, then starts to survey the piazza. At one end, there's a neoclassical monument with a balustraded overlook and statues. Then there are several peach and cream-coloured buildings, all with roads in between them. She continues to gaze around in a circle, to people gathered around a fountain, where water shoots out of the mouths of lions on stepped plinths, then to more buildings behind. All around the 360-degree view, there is no sign of any traffic light. She takes her phone out of her handbag. She fumbles and drops it down a drain. Antonio in their hotel room. He hangs up his phone. Jack and John.
Here, this is where I live.
A cobbled street.
Christ. This might have been my exact street.
Hey, can I ask you in for coffee?
Coffee?
Yeah, come on in. Sally makes great espresso.
Sally?
Yeah, my girlfriend. She's studying here.
They go into the apartment.
Hey, Sally!
Hi!
Hey, I brought someone home. We used to live here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, this is John Foy. This is Sally.
Wow.
Hello.
Hey, Sally, that's so wild.
Yeah, I know.
You're right, she's lovely.
Yeah, she's the best.
Oh, can I get you something to drink? I could make some coffee.
That would be great, honey. Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh my gosh. My friend, Monica, she called. She's going to be in Rome, and I told her she could stay with us.
So I'll finally get to meet her.
She just broke up with her boyfriend, so she's a bit at loose ends.
Trouble. Trouble in River City.
What trouble? Why trouble?
You're just gonna love her. She's smart and funny and interesting. Men just adore her. I think it's because of the sexual vibe that she gives off.
Mm-hmm. And how long is she coming for?
Oh, I don't know. Between the breakup and then her acting career isn't going that well.
Jesus Christ, can't you see the situation is fraught with peril?
Oh, give me a break. Her friend is coming. What do I care? I'm not looking for anything. I'm perfectly happy with Sally. And actually, judging from Sally's description, Monica's kind of like a neurotic, unpredictable type.
Beautiful, funny, smart, sexual, and also neurotic. It's like filling an inside straight. Monica. Even her name is hot.
He shakes his head and shrugs his shoulders like he's getting shivers down his spine. Clutching her handbag to her, Millie hurries across a road. Fiddling with her hair, she glances about. She wanders along a platform in the street, where people wait for the tram. In the bathroom at their hotel room, Antonio, in his boxer shorts and a shirt, swallows some pills with a glass of water. He rushes to answer the door.
Congratulazioni.
A slender woman in her 30s, Anna, wearing a very tight, low-cut dress, comes in. She says congratulations, Antonio asks, yes. They converse. I have your special gift. What gift? A special gift for a special man. What is this special gift? I am. Everything's been paid for in full. I'm yours. I think there's been a mistake. Whatever pleases you. That's okay, please leave. I can't, they'd be upset.
Who?
They said you were high-strung and would be quite surprised, but you're the lucky winner. What winner? The winner of the bet. What bet? Tommy and Fabio, they paid me and said to say congratulations. I don't know who they are, please leave, miss. I am told to ask no questions. I am here to fulfill your dreams. She gets onto the bed and takes off her high heels. What are you doing? Please, miss, you must leave. You are Mr. De Broca, room 504. You have the right room, but the wrong person, and now you must leave.
Qualcuno?
The man says. Anybody here?
Oh, scusate.
Two older couples enter the room. The first man, the shorter of the two, says, excuse us, so sorry. His wife, a silver-haired woman, says, I told you we should wait. Antonio stands up and pulls his open shirt over his crotch. This is not what you think. Come in. The shorter man says, our date was for noon. The door was open. Anna throws her arms open. You can't just barge in without knocking. The silver-haired woman addresses Antonio with irritation. What a way to meet your new bride. Antonio replies, she's not my bride. The taller guy frowns and asks, no. His wife, a prim woman, says, you're joking, I hope. Of course I'm joking. This is my wife. Antonio puts his arm around Anna's shoulders. The first man introduces himself. I am his Uncle Paolo. The tall prim woman offers her hand. Giovanna, the taller man, Uncle Sal, who does not offer his hand. The silver-haired woman, Aunt Rita. She shakes hands with Anna. Anna introduces herself as Anna. Rita's shocked. Isn't her name Millie? Antonio explains, yes, definitely Millie. Her middle name is Anna. Giovanna says, we'll wait downstairs. Don't worry about us. Let's go. Paolo. Rita says, we'll see you soon. They all leave. Antonio laments. I'm dead. My life is over. I'm ruined. Anna. Just tell them the truth. It was all a mistake. How do I do that? They saw us on the bed. I'm in my underwear. They won't believe me. It's useless. They'll think my wife is out of the hotel, so I hired a call girl. Why did you grab me like that? I was paid to make love to De Broca. And you leave the door open? Idiot. I thought I closed it. They barged in. These upper class feel entitled. Millie will be back any minute. We have to get out of here now. You have to pretend to be my wife. Pretend to be your wife? I'm not an actress. And you just called me an idiot. I'm sorry, I apologize. You must help me, and hurry. If Millie walks in, I will jump out the window. I will kill myself. Anna puts her shoes on. Sooner or later, they'll find out. Antonio wrings his hands. I need to buy time so I can think of something some way out. We need to get out of here now. At the airport...
Can you walk faster?
I'm walking fine. Relax.
Her flight should have landed.
Relax. By the time she goes through customs and luggage, I'll be waiting an hour.
I hope that you don't fall in love with her.
In love with her? What the hell does that mean?
Well, men always say just go crazy for her.
Well, I'm crazy for you.
Okay, that's her. Monica!
Sally waves and rushes over to meet Monica, a slight woman. Jack hangs back.
It's so good to see you.
It's great.
John steps up behind Jack.
Nothing special, right?
No, nothing special at all. I got no buzz. I mean, look at her. This is the hot femme fatale.
Of course, she has been flying for 14 hours, but you will admit there is something about her.
All I can say is if something is clicking, it's so subconscious, I'm totally unaware. She's no big deal, certainly not some formidable heartbreaker. She's a disheveled, out-of-work actress.
Wanting you to come for so long, and now you're here.
Hi, I'm Jack.
This is Monica.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you.
Sorry, I mean, I must look awful. Please don't make any snap judgments.
You're fine.
I grow on people. I can never sleep on planes. I had a scotch and 3 Ambien, but still.
In the car.
Pretty cozy, this ride into town.
I keep telling you, I have no interest in Monica. I just hope having her around is not going to interfere with my work.
But there is an element of excitement, a germ, a spark. One molecule.
God.
I see it so clearly now, but I'm older.
At home.
Thank you. Dinner was great.
Yeah, you're becoming a really great Italian chef.
Well, I figured it was your first night here, so why not stay in? No, yeah, it's perfect. Just the three of us. What are you reading?
The poetry of Yeats.
The Gong Tormented Sea.
Yeah, you know it.
Do you want to talk about the breakup with Donald?
Well, Donald was gay. It was my ego that thought I could change him, and I couldn't, and believe me, I tried.
Oh, yeah? How does one try?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get graphic, but, I mean, let's just say that I gave it my all. And it's such a shame because he is so brilliant and he's so wonderful out of bed. I mean, so much fun to be with. I tried to show him how sex with a woman could be as exciting or even more so than with someone from his own sex. And he tried. He did try, but in the end, I struck out. So
I remember you saying how much fun you had when he took you to Paris.
Have you ever had sex with a man?
Me? Sex with a man? God. No. I mean, no, it's not something I'm interested in ever doing.
Why are you blushing? Probably because you want to try it. Look, I always had a little yen for sleeping with a woman, and when I finally did it, it was very intense. It was very exciting, but unnerving.
I really have no repressed...
I shot this TV movie once, and one of the scenes was with this incredible lingerie model. I mean, she was to die. And for whatever reason, I get this message one day from the assistant director that Miss Lee would like me to go to her dressing room. And why she was so suddenly obsessed with me, I don't know. And I go. And she's in a robe.
Monica smirks.
And she takes it off and gives me a big hug and kiss. And I just become crazed. I mean, I become so excited. I mean, she was just too beautiful to turn down.
Jack's spellbound.
We had this thing for, like, 3 months. Yeah, it was like being in an erotic dream. And on the one hand, yes, it was very exciting. But on the other hand, just... very confusing. And that's when I started seeing the shrink 5 days a week. And, well, fortunately, Jamal came along and we had a great relationship.
Monica nods seriously.
And as great as the orgasms were with Victoria, they were stronger with Jamal. And a lot less bewildering.
Jack stares at Monica, who smiles at Sally.
Excuse me.
Monica scampers off.
She's something, isn't she?
Yeah, I think I need a few minutes to recover from her story. I'm still vibrating.
I think she's so fun.
Yeah, but look, finally, what has she got? I mean, no real acting career, no relationship that's remotely stable, sleeping pills, shrinks.
You sound like you're trying to convince yourself.
Hey, I've got a great idea. Let's go for a little walk tonight.
Oh, no, I'm exhausted, but, why don't you take her, Jack?
Oh, no. God, no, that would be a catastrophe.
Why are you so worried? You think of me as the seductress. This is your problem.
Bullshit. You deliberately made up this provocative story with some lingerie model.
It was true. Most of it. Okay? I exaggerate a little. I like to embellish. It's a part of my creative charm.
Come on. Why don't you come?
Sally, you've got to go along with them.
John nods and points alternately at Monica and Jack. Night. The three of them amble through Piazza Navona, past Bernini's Baroque Fontana di Quattro Fiumi, in which rocks rise from the water to support 4 river gods. Jack has an arm around Sally. He slips an arm over Monica's shoulder. Morning, Leopoldo and Sophia in bed. He sits up and switches off his alarm. His family sit around the breakfast table. He grabs a piece of toast and heads out. In a suit and carrying a briefcase, he steps out onto the street. Journalists surround him, taking photos and asking questions. Leopoldo asks, "What's going on? What is this? Are you crazy? Move away, you've made a mistake." He heads back towards his house. The journalists follow, crowding around him. Sophia! He calls for his wife and bangs on the door. Sophia comes out and Leopoldo points to all the cameras. "Sophia, look at this! What's going on?" Sophia shrieks, "What do you want?" A swish car with tinted windows pulls up outside the house. Leopoldo continues shouting, "Move away! I'll call the police! I'm a responsible person! I have to go to work! These people are crazy. Whose car is this? A man gets out of the car, pushes his way round, and addresses Leopoldo. We'll be late for the studio. Leopoldo, but I'm late for work. The man, that's right, Mr. Pisanello. Leopoldo implores, Sophia, come with me. The car pulls up outside a studio. Leopoldo is bundled in and put in a dressing room with some hair and makeup ladies. A woman presents a news show. Leopoldo sits to her left.
Buongiorno e benvenuti
the news presenter. Good morning and welcome to TG3. Today we have a special guest with us, Leopoldo Pisanello. Welcome, Mr. Pisanello. Welcome. A bewildered Leopoldo responds. Thank you. Sorry, why am I here? The presenter, tell us, what did you have for breakfast? Me? Coffee and two slices of bread with butter and jam. Two slices of bread? What were they like? They were good. Toasted. You prefer toasted bread?
Due fette di pane.
I do, yes.
Buone, tostate.
Ah, quindi lei preferisce il pane tostato?
Can you tell us why? Yes, well, I don't know. I usually favour toasted bread. White bread or wheat bread? White. So it's safe to say that Leopoldo Pisanello prefers two slices of bread, toasted. Yes, and coffee with milk, no sugar. And you shaved before or after breakfast? Thinking, Leopoldo mimes shaving in order to remember. Afterwards, behind the scenes, crew clap Leopoldo as he's led back there. Several people shake Leopoldo's hand and one says, "You are extraordinary." The car with tinted windows pulls up outside Leopoldo's house and the journalists rush back over as he gets out. They pat him as he heads to his front door. He shouts at them, "My God, still here! Enough! Move away! Sophia, Sophia, get out of here!" He lets himself in.
Leopoldo!
Sophia rushes over and hugs and kisses Leopoldo. She exclaims, "You were brilliant! The phone hasn't stopped ringing." Yes, but they want you for the 8 o'clock news tomorrow. What, me? But why? You're famous. Getting out of a taxi.
95.
Oh, I don't know. I can't find the address.
This is 91. So this goes down. That's 93.
Uh-huh.
Can't be 95. 95 is a funeral parlor.
Oh, then we're right.
What do you mean we're right?
Mr. Santoli's a mortician.
You're kidding.
He owns a funeral parlor, and don't make an issue of it.
Jesus, the kids are communists, the father's a mortician, does the mother run a leper colony?
I guess they live upstairs.
Excuse me, 95 is 95?
Yes, 95. Santoli?
Yes, yes.
Someone dead?
No, but it's early.
No. Where are Haley's parents?
Haley's parents?
Yeah.
Welcome. Such a big pleasure to meet you. Oh, sorry if I'm not cleaned up. I work all day. But please, come to our place. We live over there.
Oh,
please,
thank you.
Thank you, follow
so
me.
Much.
Did you have a nice trip?
Oh, it was wonderful. Great.
Please, come in. Mariangela, vieni. Sono arrivati I genitori di Haley.
Hello.
Phyllis.
Nice to meet you.
Jerry. Yeah.
Buongiorno.
Oh, Mariangela don't speak good English.
No.
What you drink?
Wine would be great.
Wine. Michelangelo and Haley should be here any minute. But if you excuse me now, I need to go to clean up. Mariangela, apri la bottiglia e...
Vado ad aprire questa qui, eh? Intanto voi sedetevi pure, accomodatevi.
Ok.
Torno subito.
Mr. Santoli turns the shower on.
Hello.
Mamma.
Hi. You guys find the place okay, right?
We just followed a passing hearse and here we are, you know.
Mrs. Santoli brings canapes.
Oh, Mom, the green ones are like a tapenade. They're
Oh, you should try them. They're amazing.
Oh, okay.
She takes a bite.
Oh.
She drops crumbs.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's great. I mean, I try and make this, but I never get this taste.
Well, she could teach you. Scusa, mamma, perché non le insegna a fare crostini?
Sì, sì. No. Oh, no, really.
Oh, come on. Mom, it's your free cooking lesson.
I
want to
be a pro.
Sì. Have one. I have to find out how to...
Phyllis is led away into the kitchen by Haley, Michelangelo, and his mother, Mariangela. Jerry picks up a canapé and sniffs it.
Formaldehyde.
Jerry listens. Intrigued, he steps into the corridor. Giancarlo is singing in the shower. transfixed, Jerry listens at the door. Jerry leans against the door jamb. At dinner...
She showed me how to make these, Jerry, but of course she gets the mozzarella fresh every day from Naples. Oh.
What do you do, Faith?
I'm a psychiatrist.
Oh, è una psichiatra.
Mariangela looks disappointed.
I've never been to Naples, but I hear it's beautiful.
Oh, there's no cooking like in Naples.
You see much of Italy, Jerry?
He's in a world of his own.
Jerry is asking you a question.
He snaps to and shrugs.
Some Naples.
Jerry furrows his brow.
Have you ever taken singing lessons, Giancarlo?
Singing lessons? No. What for?
You have just a natural voice.
I'm no singer. I sing for me, since I was a boy.
You have a very, very beautiful gift.
But no, she says that I make only too much noise around the house.
And no one's ever heard you?
No, it's our own private Caruso.
You have a fantastic voice. Have you ever thought of doing anything with it?
He sings for pleasure, not money.
Well, there's a great deal of pleasure in money. You know, it's green and crinkly. You can fondle the bills.
Oh, listen, I'm no singer.
Jerry frowns.
No, I don't know. Is it possible that after dinner you could sing something for me?
Me? No. I've become too embarrassed.
No, right here. We're just among the... Right?
Oh, no, please. Michelangelo, per favore. Digli anche tu.
I have a friend in town here who's in the recording business. And if you would just sing, he's a very knowledgeable man. When you're not busy, when you're not cremating anybody, and...
Look, just come... You already said no.
To his mother...
Vuole che papà canti per una casa discografica, non lo so. Dad's not a singer. I'm sure you don't want him to make a fool of himself.
Jerry, back off.
Hey, forget it. I'm not going to say another word. I forget it. But the guy has a fantastic voice. Hey, I'm finished. The subject's closed. But his voice is great. Somebody's got to do something with this because he's got... I'm not saying I would... But he's got a fantastic... The man is a genius. He's got a great natural... I'm not saying anything. I'm off the subject.
To Giancarlo.
Great voice. Fantastic. Big star.
A young man talks to Millie on the street. What's the name of the hotel, he asks. I can't remember. Was it around here? Yes, more or less. It was red. Disconsolate, she sits alone by a fountain. Antonio and Anna join Antonio's elderly relatives in the hotel lobby. Here we are, he says. Sorry we took so long. Yes, says Rita, and casts a disapproving look over Anna's skimpy red dress. Heaving a sigh, Rita asks, you don't have a more relaxed dress. Giovanna says, we'll be meeting some rather important people. I mean, we love your look, offers Paolo to Giovanna's alarm, but some of our colleagues might not understand. The train lost my luggage, so this has to be it, says Anna bluntly. We arranged a private tour of the Vatican for you, says Paolo to Antonio. How nice, isn't it, darling? Yes, I know it well, says Anna. Paolo turns to the others. Let's hope they let her in. Millie's still by the fountain.
Signorina, si sente bene?
A glamorous woman in her late 40s clutching a screenplay asks Millie if she's okay. Millie looks up. Yes, thank you, but you... Aren't you Pia Fusari? Pia smiles. You recognise me. Mia brightens and stands up. You're one of my favourite actresses. I'm flattered, says Pia. An assistant is styling her hair. What are you doing just walking the streets like an ordinary person, asks Millie. We're making a movie here. You want to watch?
Stiamo girando un film proprio qui. Vuole venire a vedere?
Io?
Me?
See?
Yes.
See?
Actors and actresses arrive in 1930s attire. Oh my, that's Giulietta Falcone. No, there's Luca Salta. I adore Luca Salta. He's so charismatic. I can't believe this. Antonio's party takes a tour of the Vatican. The tour guide says, he painted that ceiling on a scaffolding lying down. Rita exclaims, can you imagine working all that time on your back? I can, says Anna with a shrug. Jack and Sally.
Shoot, I'm going to be late to class. Could you take Monica around today?
No, I can't. I'm working on my drawings.
Oh, please. She doesn't know Rome at all.
No, I can't. I don't have time to go visit the Colosseum for the millionth time.
Just please, for me. Could you do it for me?
She kisses him.
Thank you.
Okay.
Atop the Capitoline Hill is Michelangelo's Piazza del Campidoglio.
I mean, wow, that is so impressive.
Oh, I know.
The lines,
yeah.
The empty space.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of negative space. Are you sure I'm not taking you away from anything important today?
Well, no, I think that I was worried I was taking you away from something, like if you had work to do.
No, I'm fine. This is actually my favorite thing to do. Yeah, if you weren't here, I'd probably be doing this alone. I mean, it's incredible that the Colosseum is still standing after thousands of years. You know, Sally and I have to retile the bathroom every 6 months. These guys were truly, truly brilliant architects.
You just find it so ironic that there was once this magnificent civilization and now just these ruins. I call that feudal feeling Ozymandias melancholia.
Okay.
Renzo Piano's music halls.
Is this the kind of thing you want to build?
Oh, I'd be very proud to have done this.
Did you always want to be an architect?
You'll laugh if I tell you what my ambition is.
What? No, I won't.
To build radical structures. I mean, to be scandalous, to change the architectural landscape. Are you interested in architecture?
I'm interested in Gaudi.
Huh.
Antonio Gaudi. I mean, for me, La Sagrada Familia is poetry in stone.
Oh, bullshit. You had 6 months of college. You know nothing of architecture but a few names. You saw the movie, The Fountainhead.
I just find something so sexy about an uncompromising artist. I mean, I would do anything to spend a night with Howard Rourke.
Oh, God, save me, save me. Another young woman wants to give her body to Howard Rourke.
Well, come on, I mean, she is fun to talk to.
Yes, and you buy into her bullshit because she seems to know all the right things to say. She knows names, she knows buzzwords, she knows certain cultural phrases that imply that she knows more than she does. The anxiety of influence, the Bartok string quartets, the perversion of the dialectic, La Sagrada Familia, the gong-tormented sea.
So what, I should press her and not let her get away with the name-dropping?
But you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of charming that she's a con artist.
Yes, she does have a certain something, which trumps logic. So, go ahead. Walk into the propeller.
By a newsstand.
So was it okay with Monica today, or did she just drive you crazy?
Yeah, I really don't have time to spend squiring her around. You know, I'm trying to work.
I started having those insecure thoughts again today.
Please stop.
No, because I thought maybe it was a bad idea that I put you guys together for the whole day. Because what if you ended up attracted to her?
Could you please stop worrying? She's a self-obsessed pseudo-intellectual. I mean, yeah, she's pretty, but so what?
She is. She's very pretty.
Yeah, she's very pretty. I mean, not conventionally.
I'd like to see her with someone. Who do we know? We must know someone.
Grazie.
To fix her up with?
Yeah. I'm sure we could scare somebody up.
Who?
Hey, what about Leonardo Basso? Yeah, we exercise together. He's nice looking, and he's smart. He makes good dough. Actually, I think he broke up with some girl who was also an actress. I think he'd be a perfect choice for Monica.
That's great. Can you call him?
Yeah, I'll be the matchmaker.
Great.
A gray-haired man in a suit leads Leopoldo into a private office. This will be your new office. My new office, but I'm a clerk. Very amusing. He calls out to a colleague. Serafina, come. We have a renowned man in our company. Serafina slinks in. She's tall, shapely, and beautiful, with a 24-carat smile and a figure-hugging red floral print dress. She'll attend to your needs all day long. With pleasure, she adds. You will attend to me all day long. Yes, I am here for whatever you may need. A media scrum awaits Leopoldo as he leaves with some co-workers. The grey-haired man tries to placate the mob. Leopoldo's male colleagues look bewildered as they're surrounded. Mr. Pisanello, how was your day? My day? Yes, how was it? He shrugs. It was fine. I spilled coffee on a few documents. Apart from that, it was fine. The reporter turns away and speaks to camera. Mr. Pisanello was caught short spilling some coffee, but quick thinking saved the moment from escalating into a full-blown crisis with perhaps loss of life. Why the coffee was spilled will be the subject of tonight's in-depth analysis with special guests from the Illy Cafe Company and the Brazilian ambassador to the UN. As Leopoldo signs autographs, another reporter barges in. Can we get a statement? A statement? Yes, sir, a statement. Any statement? Please. Photographers snap pictures of Leopoldo. Well, it looks like rain. The reporter spins round to camera. You heard it here. Mr. Pisanello says it might rain. To Leopoldo, how will you be sleeping tonight? Leopoldo considers. I usually sleep on my back. Leopoldo Pisanello sleeps on his back. Tell us, have you ever slept on your stomach? No, I suffer from indigestion, nothing serious. But enough now, no more, please stop, go away. What do you want from me? Do I sleep on my stomach? Leopoldo reclines on his bed. His wife enters.
Come ti sembra?
How's this dress? All I have are these junky cotton prints. I have to buy some clothes now that you're famous. Sophia, I'm tired. I have a headache. I had a horrible day with reporters. I don't want to go to a movie premiere. Sophia holds the red dress up against her and looks in a mirror. We must. They're counting on our appearance. Who's Sophia? Who's counting? So, if Leopoldo Pisanello doesn't go, the movie won't start. That's right. I'm Leopoldo Pisanello. A schmuck. You're the schmuck's wife. Sophia hangs her head. You said we'd go.
Del signor coglione qualsiasi, scusa.
Avevi detto che si andava.
Night. A magnificent fountain shimmers as a sleek black car pulls up outside the premiere. A man opens the passenger door and out climbs the glamorous middle-aged actress, Gina Francone. Linking arms with a studly, olive-skinned man a good few years her junior, she heads along the red carpet. There's Gina Francone. She waves as cameras flash. And there's Tony Branca. Tuxedoed Tony walks the red carpet with a beautiful woman. Another car arrives and the door opens to reveal a characteristically befuddled Leopoldo. There he is. Good evening. Who do I see? Leopoldo Pisanello. His lovely wife, Sophia, looking elegant in her junky print. A female reporter chimes in. Yes, she's wearing a junky cotton print dress. Looks to be second-hand, maybe even thrift shop. And I believe she has a run in her stocking. We're checking, and yes, it is a run in the stocking of her left leg. Mrs. Pisanello, the run in your stocking, was that deliberate? There's a run? Yes, it's very dramatic, very stylish. Wouldn't you say, Martina?
E voi il pa? Ho una sbagliatura. Sì, è di grande effetto, molto di moda.
A reporter to a stunning brunette in a strapless dress. We'll be seeing you at Cannes soon. Yes, for sure. Great. I must move on to Gina Francone. The brunette's eyes light up. Mr. Pisanello, I'm Marisa Raguso. I'm such a great admirer of yours. Thank you. I think you're so much sexier than all the pretty boy leading men who make those comic book movies. I see. I'd love more time to talk to you, to hear your views on the state of culture in Italy. I'll give you my number. Call me. Your number? Anytime. Okay.
Va bene.
Signor Pisanello.
Another reporter. Mr. Pisanello, tell us, do you wear boxer shorts or briefs? Me? Boxers, loose, white. I knew it. You're the classic boxer type. I knew.
Non dimenticar le mie parole.
A red convertible cruises by a ruinous stone colonnade in the countryside. Monica and handsome Leonardo Basso stroll around the ruins together. He smiles for a photograph and she takes his picture. Together they regard the results on the digital camera screen. Jack lingers on the periphery as they talk. John joins him.
So, what are you thinking now that you've fixed her up with your pal?
I don't know. Sally and I thought it would be a fun idea to come out and visit these ruins.
Yes, so then what occurred? What is it?
I don't know. I know I regretted introducing her to Leonardo.
Yes, you're jealous.
All of a sudden I wanted to get her alone in a room and tell her I loved her. Isn't that stupid? I never felt anything until this afternoon, and suddenly her face got to me. And I loved how she wore her hair, and she looks great.
Out for a jog, Leonardo and Jack stop for a break and sit down outside a cafe.
How do you like Monica?
Oh, she's lovely. I can't wait to see her again.
Oh yeah, you're gonna see her again?
Tomorrow night.
I think Sally and I are free tomorrow night.
I think it's better if it's just the two of us.
Ci porta il menù, grazie.
Jack nods unenthusiastically. Outside the funeral parlor.
Giancarlo, I took the liberty of calling my friend, and I set up an audition for you with the recording company.
I told you no.
Why? What do you have against live people? Your whole life, you can't just deal with people who have rigor mortis. You have a great voice. You should be singing Pagliacci for multitudes. You know.
Pagliacci?
Pagliacci, yes. You were born to play that.
I always dreamed of singing Pagliacci.
Yes, I know, of course, because you're a natural. That's a, you know, stick with me. We can go very far, really.
We?
We, yes. Well, I would manage you, and I will direct you. I'll put on the greatest production of Pagliacci. I'm telling you, I know exactly what to do. You have to believe me. I don't know why I'm shouting, you know? You're 2 inches in front of me. Trust me.
Nessun dorma. He performs nervously for a small group of attentive aficionados.
Tu funeo principessa nella tua fredda stanza, guardi le stelle che tremano.
Giancarlo closes his eyes as he clears his throat.
E di speranza.
Jerry looks disappointed.
Ma il mio mistero è chiuso in me. Il nome mio nessun saprà.
Michelangelo looks daggers at Giancarlo, then rolls his eyes and hangs his head in dismay. Giancarlo's mouth gapes wide open as he strains to hit the high notes. He sticks his tongue out like some crazed glove puppet. The song ends and he covers his face in shame.
Where did it go?
You know what? Ask your father.
Uh-oh.
At Jerry's hotel.
I'm so sorry, Jerry. I'll let you down.
You should have seen his face. He knew it was terrible.
It wasn't terrible, you know. Yes, if he was at La Scala, would they be throwing fruit and vegetables? Yes, they would have. But this was a cold audition room.
It's all fantasy. You imagine his voice is better than it really is because you're searching for an excuse to come out of retirement.
Hey, don't psychoanalyze me, Phyllis, okay? You know, many have tried, all have failed. My brain doesn't fit the usual id, ego, superego model.
No, you have the only brain with 3 ids.
Se mangiamo tutti qualcosa ci sentiremo sicuramente meglio, eh?
Non c'ho fame. It was a foolish idea to begin with.
Well, your father's a grown man. I mean, he can make his own decisions.
I don't know why you showed up at all. You know, you were sitting there with a disapproving face, very sour through the whole thing. Maybe you made your father nervous.
I came because he's a simple man. And I didn't want to send him along into a tank of shark of the music business.
Tank of shark?
Whoa, you think my father is a shark?
In the aquatic world, I've been likened to a spineless jellyfish, but that's about it.
Look, you defend your father because he's family, and I understand, but here he's wrong.
No, I defend him because you're wrong. There's no sin in trying something and failing.
I don't want to say anything, but I told you. You choose projects that are doomed to fail. You get some kind of a payoff out of failing.
Jerry shrugs.
What projects do I choose that are doomed to fail?
Rigoletto, with everyone dressed like white mice.
Jerry points.
Can you hear him? Is that not a gorgeous voice?
Sure. What good it is if he can only do it in the shower?
Well, but you admit he can...
He's right, Jerry. Everyone sings great in the shower.
That's right. He does it in the shower.
Dad, even you sing in the shower.
I know. In life, I have a terrible voice, but when I'm soaping myself in the hot water, I sound just like Eartha Kitt.
You look strange.
Phyllis... There's a psychological term for this. I'm having a breakthrough or an epiphany. What is the term for what I'm having?
A death wish.
On the film shoot, Pia talks to an actor.
Bravo, sei stato fantastico.
She congratulates him. Bravo, you were fantastic. Come meet your biggest fan. She's seen all of your films. Millie, right?
Scusatemi un attimo.
Pia leaves. The actor, Lucas Alter, takes off his hat and looks Millie up and down. He asks, so you're a fan? Millie gushes, yes, oh yes, I've seen everything you've ever done. You're flattering me. No, it's true, you're so great, you're an exceptional actor. As the Arab spy, as the terrorist, as the divorced father, I've always dreamed of meeting you. Will you join me for lunch? Lunch with you, together. I only have an hour. He smiles at her, she beams. Oh my God, you're the sexiest man in Rome, according to Mondo Film. Did you know? Yes, I've been told. Luca is a chubby, balding man in his 40s. He plays flirtatiously with Millie's hair and offers her his arm. Shall we? Yes. She thanks him and they head off.
Hai pensato di avere tanti bambini?
In a restaurant, the aunts and uncles are quizzing Antonio and Anna. Rita asks Anna, are you planning a large family? Anna replies, no children. You become their slave. Diapers, school, illness. They grow up, they move out, you never see them again. Giovanna says, no, that's not so. Getting more animated, Anna responds, it was with me. I couldn't wait to get out of the house. My father sold drugs, my mother was a shoplifter. What could I do? Can you blame me? The aunts and uncles are taken aback. A waiter leads Luca and Millie into the restaurant. They all look over at Luca and Millie, saying, look, look. Rita talks conspiratorially. There's the actor, Luchino Salta. Paolo cranes his neck to look over. Yes, yes, that's him. Rita says he's married. Who's that woman he's with? Antonio spots Millie with Luca and chokes on his wine. Rita asks, are you okay? Anna pats him on the back and Antonio tells them he's fine. At Luca and Millie's table, Millie is brimming with excitement. I can't believe I'm having lunch with you. I'm the lucky one, otherwise I'd be dining alone. Lie alone, aren't you married? It's in all the papers. Yes, but marriage is like wine. When it's right, it's beautiful. When it's not. Luca takes off his sunglasses and eyes Millie gravely. We're separated. The press doesn't know it's a secret. Of course, I won't tell anyone. Antonio asks Anna, what are they doing? Anna glances over and describes them. He's looking into her eyes and making love talk. Luca's love talk. I'd love if you could watch me film this afternoon. You could give me your insights, observations, point of view. We could do that back at my hotel. Millie's overjoyed. You value my opinion? Luca looks grave. Is there something wrong with that? No, not at all. Antonio, my husband, thinks my head is in the clouds, which may be a bit true. He doesn't take your ideas seriously. He takes them seriously. He respects them, but in the scientific area. I teach high school astronomy. Luca plays with her hair and strokes her shoulder. Oh my, how sweet. Yes, so I doubt he'd want my opinion on anything artistic. Astronomy, so the skies, the planets, the stars. You're a... wait, don't tell me. Please, I'm not saying anything. You're a Libra. No, a Sagittarius. Millie looks disappointed. Watching Millie and Luca, Rita comments, he's taking her hand. Antonio responds angrily, she should slap his face. A smiling Giovanna says, oh no, she loves it. Antonio whips around and looks at them. He leans back on his chair and falls off. Anna asks if he's hurt. He says no.
Buongiorno da Brunella Matteucci, ci troviamo...
A news reporter stands in Leopoldo's bathroom with him as he shaves. Hello, this is Brunella Matteucci, live with Leopoldo Pisanello. It's 7:30 a.m. Mr. Pisanello is going to shave. We're covering that shave live from the first to the last stroke. In a barber's shop, a reporter talks to camera. Mr. Leopoldo Pisanello is getting a haircut. He holds the mic to Leopoldo, who says, just a trim. The news reporter says, he's opted for a trim. Leopoldo sits in the front row of a bridal lingerie fashion show. He gawks at a sexy model who struts past him on the runway. At a restaurant, a woman with her husband talks to a waiter. The waiter, sorry, all full, no table. The woman, you must be mistaken, my husband made reservations. We're all full. Leopoldo and the lingerie model come in behind them as the woman exclaims, I can't believe this. Leopoldo says, oh, no tables, I'll come back. The waiter, oh no, Mr. Pisanello, right this way. The woman and her husband, the nerve, it's not fair. You are losing a long-time customer. Leopoldo tells the waiter, they're right, they've been waiting. Nonsense, please step this way. Leopoldo's in bed with Serafina, who coos, I watched you in the office and couldn't resist you. They say power is an aphrodisiac. A woman lets herself into the apartment. Leopoldo asks, who's she? Serafina explains, Tanya, she's my friend. She's dying to go to bed with you. I promised her you would make love to her after me. It will make her year. She calls to Tanya. He worries because he's married. Pretty blonde Tanya says, Mr. Pisanello, the rules don't apply to you. You're special. Outside at a restaurant.
Yes, yes, I agree with you completely.
I mean, the first time I read The Myth of Sisyphus, my whole life changed.
Yes, yes.
And of course the Russians.
Dostoevsky, thank you.
Stavrogin's Confession.
And Kierkegaard.
I mean, you can feel his pain.
Didn't you say that Rilke was your favorite author?
Ugh, Rilke. You must change your life.
What was it, Ezra Pound?
Petals on a wet black bough.
Look at this. She knows one line from every poet, just enough to fake it.
I have such a great idea. Tonight, after they're closed, we should sneak into the old Roman baths.
Sneak in?
Well, Leon, you know a way, right?
Yeah.
He knows a way in. Come on, it'll be dark, it'll be spooky, it'll be fun.
No, Jack doesn't do spooky, believe me.
Oh, well, I love entering places illegally, so.
No, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't want to be a spoil sport.
First it's Camus and Kierkegaard, and now I've run out of name-dropping, so let's break into somewhere. Pretty soon, she'll have you holding up filling stations.
Yeah, I understand from where you sit, it sounds crazy, but from where I sit...
He gazes at her, love-struck, in the darkened baths.
Okay. Oh, isn't this great? Oh my God, I can't believe we snuck in here.
I've never seen this at night before.
Yeah.
It's amazing. How are you doing?
No, I'm fine. It looks like it's going to rain, doesn't it?
He can't break any rule.
Okay, there was lightning. Okay, guys, come on.
Are you afraid? No, come on.
No, I'm not afraid. We're just sitting ducks here.
Unbelievable.
Okay, let's go back to the car.
I love electric push rooms.
Coming. Okay, now it's definitely raining.
It's a little, though.
It's just a little.
Okay, well,
we have to go. We have to go now. Sally, come on.
Jack and Monica run down steps into a chamber below.
This is amazing.
It's a little loud.
That means it's close.
Okay.
It's very close.
I actually went to school with a boy who got killed by lightning. So.
Do you hate it?
Well, no. I mean, I didn't mean to imply that I hate it.
I just think storms are so romantic.
Monica stands by Jack.
You know, you're actually really beautiful. A little wet.
Lightning illuminates them.
Oh, you're so sweet to say that.
No, really, you do.
You know, I love it here. I mean, I think Rome is so charismatic.
Oh, God, here comes the bullshit.
Hey, will you keep out of the goddamn scene and let me have a moment alone with her?
Okay, I'll allow you your moment, but remember, I know how it turns out.
I feel like I have completely fallen in love with Rome just this little while that I've been here. I feel like I could spend my whole life here and just never go back.
I'm sure meeting Leonardo has a lot to do with that.
Oh, my God!
She grabs Jack.
Oh, that one scared me!
Yeah. If we die, we die together.
They cling together in the storm. In the theater, a man walks onto the stage and stands by a grand piano. The man, who wears a suit, takes a seat at the piano. He delicately adjusts his shirt sleeves. From the left-hand side of the stage, a shower cubicle is wheeled on. In the audience, Haley smiles and glances at Michelangelo. Giancarlo reticently steps out onto the stage, with a towel wrapped around his waist. Giancarlo takes a bow. In the audience, his wife is sitting next to Phyllis. She puts her hands over her eyes in despair. Giancarlo gets into the shower and removes his towel. A frosted glass panel covers his privates as he hands his towel to a stage manager. Giancarlo turns on the shower and starts to wash. Jerry stands in the wings looking out onto the stage. Captivated. Michelangelo bites his thumbnail as he watches his father. Giancarlo rubs his back with a loofah. Shower, Giancarlo closes his eyes. With a towel wrapped around his waist once more, he climbs out of the shower. He holds his arms open and nods. Outside the restaurant, Jerry pours champagne.
You are absolutely fabulous. This guy created a sensation today. I see a big future here.
What does the future mean?
I see New York, I see the Vienna Opera House, I see Paris.
All in the shower?
Yes, they love it that he sings in the shower. They identify, you know. He's going to be the most popular opera singer in the world.
Certainly the cleanest.
You don't want to really take this further, do you, Dad? But why not?
Yes, I got big plans for him. I want to do now a production of Pagliacci. Your father was born to sing that role.
This is decadent stupidity.
My whole life I sing that role while I'm in the bathroom.
He's wanted to do this his entire life. You're going to deny your father his shot?
It's your shot, not his.
I resent your tone with my father.
I happen to think out of the box.
Oh, out of the box. So that's a very interesting choice of words. Listen to me. You're retired. You equate retirement with death. Giancarlo's an undertaker. He puts people in boxes, but you want to think out of the box.
It's true.
If you're channeling Freud, ask for my money back.
Mariangela storms over to Jerry and gives him a good talking to in Italian.
I failed high school Spanish. I really don't.
È pazzo, io non capisco quello che dice. Ma che cosa sta dicendo? Già portato via il figlio, adesso vuole portare via pure a te. Ma che cosa?
He's going to be a big star.
Star?
Big opera star.
Ma tu non sai cantare. Non sai cantare. Tu canti sotto l'acqua. Acqua, acqua. No, non sai cantare. No, no. Io lo ammazzo, ma lasciamo.
Mariangela grabs a knife.
Oh, interpose yourself. Wait. Go ahead. She probably won't stab a woman. Go ahead. Go. Calm. Relax.
No.
You have an attitude problem.
Put the knife down.
This is going to be our mother-in-law here.
At a garden party, Sal addresses Antonio whilst Anna affectionately runs her fingers through his hair. We wanted you to meet these people. Mr. Masucci is our firm's CEO. He threw this cocktail party to welcome you. It's a chance to meet the creme de la creme of Rome's business world. We talked you up and everyone's looking forward to meeting you, Giovanna adds, and it doesn't hurt to impress their wives. Antonio asks Anna, you think it's wise to drink so much, darling? She replies, maybe I should get some coffee. Coffee, anyone? She slinks off. A guy in a beige suit heads over to the group. Sal says, "There he is. I want to present you to my nephew." The man shakes Sal's hand. "Hello, everyone. Beautiful party, isn't it?" Sal introduces his nephew and the man says, "You're the famous nephew. I've heard fine things about you. They said you fit the image of the company. Image is very important to all of us. You follow football?"
"No."
Antonio shakes his head. The boss frowns and looks at Sal with irritation. Anna stands at a buffet table with a drink in her hand. A man next to her glances about, then says, "It's you." Anna straightens and replies, "Yes." He asks, "What are you doing here, Anna?" "Millie, Millie," she emphasizes. "Oh, my wife." Anna asks the woman, "How are you?" "Good, thank you." They shake hands. "A pleasure." "The pleasure is mine," the man says. "We're off. Excuse us."
"Caffè latte, per favore."
Anna asks the waiter for coffee and he points to another table. She puts down her drink and goes over to ask for a coffee. Another man starts to talk to her. Anna. She says, "Hi, Millie." "Since when is it Millie?" "It's Millie. My wife is here. Relax, don't worry. I was going to call you. How's next Tuesday?" "The usual time."
"Anna."
"Oh, Dio."
Another man recognises Anna. She says, "Oh, God." He grins. "My goodness, I didn't expect to see you here. Millie, here I'm Millie. Millie, all right. Can you come to my office tomorrow at 3? I don't have my book with me." "I see. If I don't hear otherwise, I'll expect you at 3 and wear the black brassiere and the thong."
"Ma in barca a vela ci va?"
"No."
The boss asks Antonio, "Do you sail?" He says no. The boss looks disheartened. He asks, "Do you hunt?" Antonio says no. A group of men are now gathered around Anna. One asks how she is.
"Sono così nervoso."
Antonio and Anna take a walk together in a quiet part of the garden. Antonio complains, "I'm so nervous. I can't afford to look foolish. These men are the most important business tycoons in Rome." Anna responds, "Some creme de la creme. It's my whole client list. My nerves are shot from today." "You're too uptight, honey. Relax. You'll have a heart attack. How can I relax when my life is falling apart? How does your wife stand it if you're always such a wreck? She loves me the way I am. Is that why she was smooching with Luchino, what's his name? They were smooching, practically. You said holding hands. There must be some explanation. She's a Madonna." "The explanation is he's a movie star, a sex symbol. Emilia is pretty, but she'd never look at another man. You obviously don't know women, especially if her husband is a nervous man, afraid of his shadow. What the hell was she doing smooching? He made love to her with his eyes. You probably don't know how to make love with your eyes. To a woman of your profession, I must appear a middle-class mouse."
"Per una che fa il tuo mestiere, devo proprio sembrargli un piccolo borghese cretino."
"Tua moglie era vergine quando vi siete sposati?"
"Was your wife a virgin when you married her?" "None of your business." "I'll bet she was. We had some pretty wild times together." Anna laughs. "What's your idea of wild times? Sex with the lights on?" "Believe me, she was not a virgin. I was." "You really need a lesson in love." "From who? Surely not you." "Why not? It's all paid for. There are people. No one can see us." Anna pushes him back behind a tree. He takes off his suit jacket.
"Don't let me forget the carrots."
"Okay, you really need all this pasta?"
"Yeah, I think we need more pasta."
"More pasta? We're not cooking for a small village."
"Tomatoes."
"Okay."
"Whose idea was this enterprise?"
It was hers. It was Monica's. We all agreed to have dinner together, and since Leonardo's at work all day and Sally's at school, Monica suggested we do the cooking.
Can I make a prediction? She can't cook.
Apparently, there are some things she can't cook.
Like what?
Like chocolate brownies.
Brownies? You're going to have brownies as a main course?
Yeah, I think it should be fun.
John looks dubious.
"Do you think it needs more wine?"
"No,
I know the Italians cook with a lot of...
There's a lot of wine in here, I can really feel it.
I don't know if it's... it might be the French."
No, what do you think?
I don't want it to be too subtle."
"No, it's definitely not subtle. No,
well,
I can definitely..."
"Can I taste it?"
"Yeah, of course, please."
I think it needs... I'll get some of that other wine that's there."
"The other... Are you sure? We already finished this one." Okay.
Oh, we have to put the brownies in. Can you bake?"
"Can I bake? You said you baked."
"Well, no, I can. I have. I left the recipe in Los Angeles. But, I'll do it. I can do it by memory. I'm sure I can do it by memory."
"Hey, you want to just order from a restaurant and maybe dirty up the kitchen a little bit and say we cooked it?"
"Well, here, let me check the sauce."
"Yeah, you know what? I'm going to check it too, actually."
"Oh, do you want penne or rigatoni?"
"Don't put the pasta in there. They're not going to be home for hours." "What?
I think I'm a little drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
We can fake it.
Yeah, I'm done with this.
Good.
I'm done with the cooking.
Okay.
I promised Leonardo that I'd make a really great dinner.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad it worked out between you and Leonardo. No, really, because, you know, I'm the one that got you together.
She sits down.
Yeah, I mean, he's nice.
Sexy, I think you told Sally.
Monica eats a mint and looks awkward as she considers how to respond.
You know, look, and this is the wine talking. He's not the most soulful character. He's not a sufferer.
What's so great about suffering?
Well, there's something attractive about a man who's sensitive to the agonies of existence.
Jack shakes his head incredulously.
God, you would be perfect to play Miss Julie, the Strindberg play?
The Miss Julie tactic I learned from a friend of mine who's a theater director. Tell any actor she'd be perfect for the role of Miss Julie, and you can have your way with her.
Just so amazed that you would say that. I mean, Miss Julie is the role that I was born to play. She is me. How could you know that?
I have a kind of non sequitur question to ask you now.
What?
How would you feel if I kissed you?
He sits beside her on the sofa.
Oh, that is a non sequitur.
Oh, little Miss Shocked. Didn't you see that 2 minutes ago? She popped the Tic Tac. What do you think that's about?
I'm serious. What would you think?
I would think that you're living with my best friend.
Yeah, this is true. And yet, I can't stop myself.
They kiss passionately. John watches with a thoughtful expression. Monica gets up.
Oh, that's not good.
Wait, you didn't like it?
No, I liked it, and that's what's not good.
And you? Will you ever recover from it?
No, she's perfect. I mean, this is too good to be true.
If something is too good to be true, you can bet it's not.
I have to have her.
Jack gets up and plants another passionate kiss on Monica's lips. John waits with a slightly awkward air.
What are we going to do about this?
Were you acting? Was this a performance?
I can't do this to Sally in her home.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Trust me. She won't be home for hours.
No,
it's...
I just mean... I don't want to do it here.
For Christ's sakes, what is all this posturing about? If you're going to screw your best friend's boyfriend, does it really matter what the venue is?
You will never understand women.
That's been proven.
This is not going to be some ongoing affair behind Sally's back. Right? This is one rainy afternoon. I'm a little bit drunk. And yeah, I'm turned on by you, but just not here, not in her home.
Okay, look, the time for debating is long past. Let's go down to the car.
Well, the car is different. You can fuck me in the car, I'm fine with that.
The rain pours down on the gently rocking red Fiat as it sits parked in a side street. Leopoldo and Starlet Marisa are mobbed by paparazzi as they leave a cafe. Smile, is it true you're a couple? Leopoldo looks flustered. She's my cousin. We happen to run into each other. I have no statement to make. Is Leopoldo going to direct your next picture? We happened to run into each other. I was waiting for my wife. Marisa, run. We were waiting for my wife. Leave us. Leave us alone. Enough already. Leave us. Please. Leopoldo splits from Marisa and runs down a side street. He rounds a corner and finds his way blocked by a religious procession. He turns to the press pack. Show some respect for the procession. Later, Leopoldo's swish car pulls up in a quiet park. He gets out with his driver, Roberto.
Robert.
Roberto, no, I can't take it. Why me, Roberto? What's going on? Sir, you have to accept it. You're a very famous man. Leopoldo swallows pills. But why? Look, these pills. The bottle was full this morning. But why am I famous?
Perché sono famoso? Perché?
Perché?
You're famous for being famous.
Per essere famoso.
But I didn't accomplish anything. You think everybody who's famous deserves to be?
Tutti quelli che sono famosi se lo meritano.
Non lo so.
I don't
non
know.
Lo so. Lo
Even you want my opinion. Everyone wants my opinion. I don't know. So. My life has become a living hell. A journalist asked me if God exists. I told her I didn't know. She was upset. Mr. Leopoldo doesn't know if God exists. Everyone wants answers. How do you scratch your head? With the right or the left hand? With both. He scratches with both. That's private business. I scratch my head with the hand I please, okay? It's private. From where I sit, sir, I find it hard to sympathize. To be a celebrity, the excitement, the special privileges, adoring crowds wanting your autograph, never having to wait in line.
Mai fare una fila.
The women adore me. They kneel before me. Leopoldo, you're so handsome. They want to go to bed with me three and four at a time. I have enough trouble when we're two.
In tre, in quattro, io già c'ho miei problemi in due. La moglie
di un uomo. The wife of a man of your stature understands she must share him with the public. I want my anonymity back. No one interrupting me. A crowd appears. Enough! Roberto, take me home. I will sue for violation of privacy. You have no heart. Let's go. Take me home. Anna and Antonio get dressed after sex. You were better than I thought. Why are you so silent? I committed adultery. Think of it as part of your education. I never did any of those things before. Why not? Because Millie would be shocked. But with me, you had no problem. Why? Because I'm a whore? With you, I was uninhibited, but I feel so guilty. Millie would never in a million years commit adultery. Maybe she wouldn't mind you having a learning experience. I can't do those things with Millie. She's too saintly. Yes, I know, Madonna-like. Except you're the prude, not Millie. You were the virgin at marriage, not her. She adjusts his hair. Luca leads Millie into his hotel suite.
Ti piace?
You like it? This is beautiful.
È bellissimo qui.
Want a drink?
A drink?
No, grazie.
No, thank you. I don't dare. Why not? Here. He hands her a drink.
Tieni.
Grazie.
He puts the stereo on. I love old songs from my childhood. Very pretty. And the old way of dancing. He shows off a few moves. You're very good. What can I say? He pulls her to him. I thought you wanted to talk. My weakness is nostalgia. Yes, there's something charming about reminiscing. Did anyone ever tell you you were beautiful? My husband, maybe once, but never a movie actor. Please don't think of me as a movie actor. I'm an ordinary human being with the same feelings, the same vulnerabilities and desires.
Le stesse vulnerabilità, gli stessi desideri.
But when I see you kiss those beautiful actresses, you seem, how shall I say, larger than life. A movie kiss, what is it? All pretend. I always wondered what it must be like to be kissed by Luca Salta. He plants a kiss on her lips. She looks surprised. Now you know. It was amazing. Only amazing. More than amazing. Wait till you experience the rest. The rest? We must. I can't turn back now. You're far too enchanting. No, my goodness, what a dilemma. I see no dilemma. Of course it is. I'm so tempted to make love to you, so I can tell my grandchildren. Relax. On the other hand, it is adultery. Let's not get into semantics. He kisses her again. I want you. Oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. I love Antonio, my husband, but I'm so curious. Listen, life is short and some moments are written in the stars. This is one of them. Yes. No, wait.
No, aspetta, ti prego, aspetta. Vado un attimo in bagno.
I have to go to the bathroom. Don't move, don't leave, okay? She disappears into the bathroom. Luca walks over to the door and listens. He stretches and rubs his hands, then slaps his thighs, and holds up his hands. Monica and Jack are smooching beside a lake. They break off from a lingering kiss.
I swear I wouldn't do this.
I know, me neither. I have to tell Sally.
But you said your relationship was winding down. I mean, this cannot be because of me.
No, don't say that. No, it is. It's wound down.
She takes his hand and they walk together.
I had fantasies yesterday of us being together.
Really?
Exploring Italy and looking at all the great architecture of Milan and Venice and Naples. You could teach me.
I'm a good teacher.
We could stay in little towns at bed and breakfasts.
Since Sally is taking her exams next week at the university, I just don't want to break this to her before then.
No, of course.
Yeah, but right after. Right after. I love you.
They sink into another lingering kiss. A press pack is waiting outside a building as Leopoldo emerges. You are the greatest, the greatest. Leopoldo signs an autograph for one of his fans. A bearded man wanders up the street. A woman in the press pack spots him and yells, "Who's that man? He looks even more interesting." The paparazzi surround the bewildered-looking bloke, a journalist. We're here on the street with Aldo Romano. If I'm not mistaken, you drive a bus. What's going on? I don't understand. What do you want from me? Is it true you are bringing your laundry in to have it clean? Yes, but what do you want? Do you use starch? No, I don't like starch. Is that a stain on your jacket? It's marinara. Can you tell us how you got it? I was eating a plate of rigatoni. I lifted my fork and the sauce fell. Why do you care? I don't understand. A delighted Leopoldo watches as the press ignore him and pursue Aldo. Leopoldo runs off up the street. He returns home. Gabriele, Camilla, Sofia. Hi, Dad. Easy there. The curse is lifted. We're back to normal. I'm so happy. A man named Aldo Romano is in all the papers, says Sofia. Leopoldo's ecstatic. Let's celebrate with a pizza. My treat. Who is the new star?
Aldo Romano.
Jack, Monica and Sally.
I think I did really well on the exams.
Of course you did.
Yeah, you sailed through it because you studied hard enough.
I worked hard.
Yeah, you did. She doubts herself for no reason. I don't know why.
Do you guys want something else?
Sure.
No.
Okay. No. All right, well.
Okay.
Sally goes.
You see how confident she is? So I'm gonna take her to dinner and I'm gonna tell her tonight.
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah, of course. In fact, I planned out an amazing trip for us. Believe it or not, I've never been to the Acropolis or the Parthenon.
Can we go to Sicily?
Yeah, of course. You know what? Actually, we could hire a sailboat and go around the boot.
So I've always seen pictures of Palermo. I think it is.
You can see pictures,
so
but
romantic.
Nothing is like being there in the real place. We have... Do you want to? Yeah, sure. No problem.
Hello? No, I... Hello? Okay, I'm going to see if I can... Hello?
Monica wanders off with her mobile. Jack stares after her. John joins him.
It's sad.
What is?
That you're in love with Monica.
There's just something about her.
You know that Sally's in love with you, right?
I know.
And your common sense tells you that Sally is the much more sensible choice.
Yeah, I know. I know all of that, and yet I can't explain it.
I understand.
Guess what?
What?
I got a part.
A part?
A good part. In a movie. It's high budget. It shoots in Los Angeles and Tokyo.
Wait, where?
I have to leave tonight.
What was that about a sailboat in Sicily?
They need me for like 5 months.
5 months in Japan?
1 month in Los Angeles, 4 in Japan. I mean, assuming it all goes on time. Oh, I cannot wait to go. I mean, it is like my dream in life to spend time in the Far East.
That's your dream?
Who's in it?
Justin Brill, Ricardo Ramirez.
Ricardo Ramirez, he's a very attractive man.
And I worked with Justin Brill before, like when he was married to Rebecca Wright, and he had this big, mad crush on me.
Well, he's available now.
This is so exciting.
I can't wait to get back to Los Angeles, see my acting coach. I mean, no matter what it's like to visit a place, there's nothing like home.
Who's directing?
Mark Strombel. I adore him. I adore his work. And you know what? He's like the only director that I would trust to direct the nude scenes that I have to do. And although I hear he does a lot of drugs, I mean, somehow that burnt out look is just so... It's just so sexy on him. I have to lose some weight. I mean, the writer saw me on that TV thing. He flipped out over my quality. I'm like 5 pounds or so. I'll start running again. This part is such a great showcase for me. I just hope I can bring my dog. I hope it's not like London where it's so hard to bring a pet.
Millie's in Luca's bathroom. Stay calm. Millie, stay calm. Better to sleep with him and regret it than not to sleep with him and regret it. What do I do? Better to sleep with him. Absolutely better to sleep with him. She pulls her dress off over her head. Yes, better to sleep with him. A man with a gun comes in from a far door. Be quiet. Quiet or I'll kill you. Now, open the door. You understand? Let's go. March. They join Luca, who's now removed his trousers. Are you ready, my love? Keep your mouth shut. Do what I say and you won't be hurt. You understand? Give me your wallet and all your jewellery. Hurry. Don't you know who I am? No, and I don't care. Hurry up. You keep quiet and don't cry. Hand over everything. Millie struggles to remove a ring. It won't come off. Your watch, the watch. Shut up. Open up, open up. House detective. Open up, Luca. I know you're in there. My wife, she's probably had me followed. You said you were separated. Oh, God, the alimony. I'm finished. I'll be in the newspapers as the other woman. I'm finished. I've lost everything. The thief. Listen, I've got an idea. We do this. You go into the bathroom. Hide in the shower. Go close the door. Get in there. He turns to Millie. Come with me. Millie and the thief hop into the bed. The house detective and Luca's wife burst in. Open up. This man has a lot to explain. There in the bed. Did you hear us knocking? What's going on? Have you gone mad? Didn't you hear us? What am I going to hear? I'm here with my girlfriend. You come barging in. It's a delicate moment. You're not this woman's husband. Husband? I don't know her. You told us he was your husband. Are you crazy? I'll sue this hotel for barging in here without knocking. Pardon, sir, pardon. How could you? What's going on here? Everyone out. Luca's wife protests. This isn't my fault. Madam, please, pardon us. You'll hear from my lawyers. Pardon us. Out in the corridor. We'll get him. Madam, please. Thank you. This wasn't supposed to end like this. Madam, after you. The two detectives march her down the corridor. Having returned from the bathroom, Luca pulls on his trousers. Oh, thank you, thank you. The burglar points his pistol at Luca. You're welcome. I'll leave now, says Luca. Here, take my watch, my ring. It's all yours. Thank you, really. Thank you, bye. Thank you. Luca leaves and Millie hangs her head. I can't believe this. Bare-chested and still beside her under the sheets, the robber comforts her. I don't blame him.
Certo che
you're really very pretty.
C'ha ragione lui, eh? Sei proprio carina.
Cosa?
Excuse me.
C'ha ragione,
I said
carina.
You're pretty. Thank you.
Grazie.
She bats her lashes. Are you a real burglar? Yes, I am. You could say I specialise in hotels. But I do break-ins and hold-ups.
No, diciamo che sono specializzato.
Titillated, she smiles. Really? How exciting.
Sì.
Ah, sì?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Eccitante.
He looks at her.
Tu sei eccitante.
You're exciting. She averts her gaze. I've never made love with a criminal. My husband is a respectable businessman. Is that so? Yes. The burglar shrugs. Well, how do I say this? Opportunity makes a thief. Here's your chance. Ladro, per cui she beams. You're right. No? We're alone in a hotel room.
Certo. Siamo in una stanza d'albergo.
Exactly. We're in bed. You're in your slip. Dreamy-eyed, she tails off. So, he cups her cheek. So, he kisses her and they sink down beneath the sheets. He puts the pistol to one side as they writhe passionately in a lover's clinch. Jack and John walk together on a cobbled street.
I guess I'll never hear from Monica again.
Yes, but you can read about her in the gossip columns, dating Justin Brill, vacationing at his Aspen Lodge. Consider yourself lucky. You saved your own life there. A year with her, she would have had you free fall parachuting and adopting Burmese orphans.
Well, with age comes wisdom.
With age comes exhaustion.
Well, look, here's where we first met.
Yeah. I should be getting back to the Excelsior.
Oh, it's a nice hotel. You're obviously doing well.
Well, there's a lot of dough in shopping malls.
Jack taps John's chest.
You sold out.
As a foolish man once said, stuff happens.
Jack nods.
I'll leave you here.
Yes. Goodbye.
Jack dons a pair of sunglasses and strides away briskly. Thoughtful, John turns and goes on his way. People dine outside restaurants as Leopoldo walks by, unharassed, with Sophia. This is nice, she says. Leopoldo looks around as if perplexed. There's a movie premiere tonight, she continues. We can just go with no fuss and enjoy the picture. We don't have to pose for photos. Leopoldo looks over his shoulder as people pass him without interest. We weren't invited, he says. Well, we can stay home and watch it on television. And I don't have to share you with beautiful models and actresses and sexy secretaries. Exasperated, he throws out his arms.
Hey! Hey!
He waves and calls out to passers-by. I'm Leopoldo Pisanello. Miss, this morning for breakfast I had toast with butter and jam. Then I shaved and used a cream. I prefer a cream to a gel. He wanders out into the road. I'm Leopoldo Pisanello. To a guy on a scooter. Hi, want my autograph? No, I'm in a hurry. You want it? I don't know you.
Sono Leopoldo Pisanello. Lo vuole? Sono Leopoldo Pisanello, signora.
He raises a finger in the air as Sophia hurries into the road. I wear boxer shorts, he cries. Do you want to see my boxers? He pulls his trousers down. See, I wear boxer shorts, white and loose. Sophia chases him and hikes his trousers back up. He waves up at a window. Miss, I am Leopoldo Pisanello. Looks like rain. I got a trim. She's my wife, miss. There's a run in her stocking. It's trendy. Runs are trendy. You want to see me on one foot? Look, Pisanello on one foot. It's a great scoop. I had breakfast this morning. A pretty young woman in a colourful dress approaches him. Excuse me, I recognise you. Yes, I know the face. Didn't you used to be... I'm Leopoldo Pisanello. Yes, that's right. Do you want my autograph? He asks. Sure, if you insist. Here. She hands him a notebook and he writes in it. I am Leopoldo Pisanello. Remember. Thank you. That's me. Thank you. The woman walks away. You see, he says. Yes. Let's go home, says Sophia. The kids are there. I'm there.
Lui si ricorderà sicuramente di me, Sofia.
Here. Yes, he'll remember me, Sophia. This man was once my chauffeur, right? His chauffeur rises from his seat at a restaurant table. Yes, I told you, sir. Life can be very cruel and unsatisfying whether you're a celebrity or poor and unknown. But of the two, to be a celebrity is definitely better. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Breathless, Leopoldo is escorted away by Sophia. Come, let's go. Did you hear what he said? Yes, I heard. I heard. Antonio returns to his and Millie's hotel room. Millie steps through from the bathroom.
Millie.
There There you are, says Millie. I was so worried. What happened to you? When I came back, you were gone. I lost my phone. I got lost. What happened to you? My uncles, they had every moment planned. Did it go well? He puts an arm around her and leads her to the bed. We're going home. Home where? Back to Pordenone. But we've just arrived. I had my full dose of uncles and aunts and all their phony friends. I don't want the job. I want my old job back. We'll never get rich, but we'll have a better life. You love teaching at the school. Yes, but nothing. We'll go home. We'll have a better life with children. He puts a do not disturb sign on the door.
Una vita sicuramente migliore con dei figli e...
And maybe, he continues, I'll even have time to paint a little. He unbuttons his suit jacket and tries to adopt a cool, casual pose. Millie smiles and rises from the bed. OK, what a surprise. I don't know what to say.
Mi sorprendi.
They put their arms around each other.
E non dire niente.
Say nothing. Let's make love. Make love? Before we leave, to celebrate. It'll be my turn to teach you about the stars. And don't be surprised if I shock you. She gazes into his eyes. Shock me.
Sconvolgimi.
Smiling, they kiss. Their hands roam freely over each other's clothes and they flop down onto the bed. A red stage curtain parts dramatically to reveal a clown. He beckons theatrically, and a cast of supporting actors in ye olde peasant garb floods the stage. The male clown dances with a female clown. It's a full house. Jerry's there with Phyllis, Haley, Michelangelo and Mariangela. Important-looking people watch from the auditorium. The cast make way as a carriage is wheeled onto the stage. At the front of it is a shower in which Giancarlo stands nude. His unmentionables obscured by frosted glass. He soaps himself under the tumbling water as he prepares to sing. Jerry clenches his fists in nervous anticipation. Giancarlo rubs his underarms with a loofah.
Mi accordan di parlare un grande spettacolo a 23 ore.
Alone on stage in the shower cubicle, he sings into a mirror framed by lights.
La faccia in farina.
He daubs white face paint on his cheeks and forehead. The water washes the makeup away in trailing white rivulets. Jerry watches with his eyebrows raised. Phyllis toys with her wedding ring. Eyes clenched shut. Giancarlo dabs the corner of his mouth as he sings. In a later scene, a female clown is marched over to his shower cubicle. He stabs her and she falls to the floor. The stricken woman sings. A man runs to Giancarlo, who pretends stabs him too. The man dies a hammy death.
La commedia è finita.
Giancarlo resumes scrubbing with the loofah. He gets a standing ovation. The conductor applauds by beating his baton against his palm. The Santolis are gathered around newspapers on the dining room table. Haley's with them.
Dad, the critic says you were wonderful. A voice from the golden era.
It is so great. I can't believe it. But no more for me. I prove myself enough.
Sei bellissimo qui, eh?
Mama don't fly. I don't tour. My life is fulfilled. Mm. I have a great family. I stay home. I relax. I bury people. I'm happy.
Non vai via, però.
No.
Tonight I owe everybody an apology.
We should get to the Spanish Step soon for Max's cocktail party.
We're late?
No. I mean, he's an old friend of my father. He's not going to mind if we're a bit late, but we should go soon.
All right. Do you forgive me?
I'm so happy for your husband. And as for you, how could I not forgive you? I love you.
Another Caruso. And in difficult conditions.
Oh, goodness. They weren't very kind to my father, were they?
I think it's better you don't hear that.
No, I can take it. Just don't tell my dad. Thankfully, he doesn't understand a word of Italian.
All right. Except from Mr. Santoli, magnificent voice.
Magnifico! Bello di tutti! La più bella voce di tutti!
Whoever imbecile... Imbecile?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Imbecile.
Whoever imbecile conceived this moronic experience should be taken out and beheaded.
Oh. Oh, well, right. He's gotten worse. This has to be the most beautiful terrace in all of Rome.
Yeah, for my wife and I, it's a privilege to live up here.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the Spanish Steps right there, the people watching.
Phyllis, the reviews were so great. I mean, the press called me not what was the word they used? Not a maestro, but an imbecile. What does it mean?
It means you're ahead of your time.
Your mother, I'm happy to say, lucky woman, married an imbecile.
So I toast to my future father-in-law.
Ah, well, good luck to you guys.
Honey, let's go see the piazza.
Yes.
Better click.
So glad to see them. They make a lovely couple.
Gazing at the Trinità dei Monti.
Oh, this city is unbelievable. I think we should get married right in front of the fountain there.
Anything you want.
Oh, I could stand here all night. It's so beautiful.
Night falls, a band plays on the Spanish Steps, which descend from the foot of the Renaissance Church to the Piazza di Spagna, where a crowd has gathered to watch. A man in a high apartment building opens double doors onto a balcony and steps out into the night air. He's in his 50s with a dark moustache and wears an unflattering white vest. He talks to camera.
It's me that knows Rome the best, not the traffic policeman.
Or anyone.
I see all from here. The Romans, the students, the lovers on the Spanish Steps. There are many stories next time you come.
Water glimmers in a fountain at the center of the piazza. Around it, people stand gazing up at the musicians. ITFC audio description was read by Alice Sanders. Cast, in order of appearance, traffic policeman Pierluigi Marchione, Michelangelo Flavio Parenti, Hayley Alison Pill, Antonio Alessandro Tiberi, Millie Alessandra Mastronardi, John Alec Baldwin, Carol Alt, Tim David Pasquesi, Ellen Lynn Swanson, Leopoldo Roberto Benigni, Sofia Monica Napo, Giancarlo Fabio Amiliato, Rocco Corrado Fortuna, Claudio Margherita Vicario, Mariangela Rosa di Brigida, Pilot's Voice Maurizio Argentieri, Jerry Woody Allen, Phyllis Judy Davis, Hotel Clerk Giovanni Esposito, Jack Jesse Eisenberg, Gabriele Rapone, Camilla Pacifico, Leopoldo's co-workers Massimo Ferroni, Alessandro Piccoli, Paolo Di Vita, Serafina Cecilia Capriotti, Friends at Cinema Lucio Camerini, Lina Sastri, TV Voice Alberto Mangiente, Pedestrian 1 with directions Ruggero Cara, Pedestrian 2 with directions Maria Rosario, Omaggio, Sally, Greta Gerwig. Anna, Penelope Cruz, Uncle Paolo, Roberto della Casa, Aunt Rita, Ariella Reggio, Uncle Sal, Gustavo Frigaro, Aunt Giovanna, Simona Caparini, Monica, Ellen Page, Leopoldo Schaefer, Sergio Soli, TG3 Anchorwoman, Cristiana Palazzoni, Pedestrian 3 with Directions, Giacomo Fada, Pia Fuseri, Ornella Muti, Luca Salta, Antonio Albanese, Film Director, Massimo Di Lorenzo, Leopoldo's Boss, Giuseppe Pambieri, Reporters at Leopoldo's Office, Alessio Zucchini, Alessandro Talarida, Reporters at Movie Premiere, Luca Calvani, Maricel Alvarez, Mariella Melani, Roberta Ronconi, Marisa Raguso, Marta Zoffoli, Leonardo Lino Guanciali, Max Fabio Bonini, reporter in Leopoldo's Bathroom, Brunella Mattiucci, reporter at Barbershop, Eduardo Leo, fashion show model, Claudia Smith, maitre d', Antonio Rampino, restaurant couple, Anna Teresa Rossini, Gaetano Amato, Tanya, Marina Rocco, Mr. Masucci, Sergio Bustri, Anna's clients, Augusto Fornani, Mariano Rigillo, Gianmarco Tognazzi, Girl Outside Barbershop, Ilaria Serato, Aldo Romano, Vinicio Marchioni, Reporters on Street, Donatella Finocchiaro, Nucia Gorgone, Hotel Robber, Riccardo Scarmaccio, Hotel Detectives, Nini Bruschetta, Carlo Di Rughieri, Hotel Manager, Giuliano Gemma, Luca's Wife, Margherita Di Rasso, Go With Autograph, Federica Corti, Neda Colombina, Rita Camerano, Tonio Lo Scemo, Taddeo, Matteo Bonotto, Silvio Antonio Taschini, Pepe Alecchino, Vinicio Cecere, Man in Window, Francesco Di Vito. Copyright 2012, Gravier Productions, Inc. All rights reserved. Gravier Productions, Inc. is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. Medusa Media Set Group. Sony Pictures Classics.